We appreciate so much those of you that are coming back for this second message on the tree of knowledge. We want to immediately go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. We'll read verses 13 and 14. We're talking about growing in grace and in the knowledge of God. We're talking about where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We're showing that God had a purpose in Satan coming into the garden to deal with Eve and for this thing to happen. And Adam stepping down willingly to, as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ to save his bride. And the Lord Jesus Christ became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All right, we're talking about knowing and discerning good and evil. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. We told you in that first message about the baby sleeping and being unconscious of what the parents are having to go through to preserve its life and to take care of it. He or she, the babe, takes milk, and that's the way Christians are. But they come to grow up, and they come to partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they begin to discern and understand things more than they ever did. Verse 14, Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat, talking about the Bible and the strong doctrine, talking about the gospel, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. So God did not want to live with a humanity that was like little babies, crying and carrying on and always fretting about itself. But those who had grown up and had come to a full age and understanding of the things of God and appreciating and being thankful, like that young lady was that carried her little baby back over to her mama's house on Saturday morning, and mama let her get some sleep as the grandmama took care of the baby. And she began to realize, this thing's not like I thought it was. She's grown up, and now the daughter who has the baby, her relationship to her mother, who's the grandmother of the baby, is different now. Now they're not just mother and daughter and a daughter who does not understand what the mama has been through for her, but now they become friends. And they're able to talk to each other on the same basis because both of them are mothers that have taken care of babies that didn't appreciate them. So the mother of the baby has grown up and understood now what the mother, the baby's grandmother had done for her, and so they're on more even ground. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Watch it now, to discern both good and evil. Why do you go to church? Why do you sit under the gospel? Because the strong meat begins to bring forth an understanding and discern, and it exercises my senses that I might fully and more completely discern good and evil. Adam and Eve started this thing off. Disobedience started this thing off. It wasn't the tree. It was their relationship to the tree in regards to God's word concerning the tree. God said, don't. The law was there. They said, we're going to do it anyhow. He said, okay. The law comes to make what you did wrong to be exceedingly sinful, to be seen as exceedingly sinful. So now we sit under the gospel. We've been born again. We're no longer babes desiring the sincere milk of the word. But we have come now to have some teeth and have a digestive tract and have taste buds that makes us desire the strong meat of the word. And guess what that does? According to Hebrews 5:14, by reason of use of this strong meat, it exercises our senses to discern both good and evil. That's what the whole thing was about. That's what we see in this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Beginning with verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We just knew basic things, just like you used to sing A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You learned your ABCs, then you learn how to put them together in words. But then you had to learn how to put the words together in sentences. And then you had to learn how to put the sentences together in paragraphs. And you had to make some sense out of this A, B, C, D. We only knew what was in part, but now this is more perfect that we know now. Listen, verse 11. I didn't finish reading verse 10, did I? But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, natural. That's the way it's supposed to be. I understood as a child. I didn't need this strong meat because I didn't understand what I had gotten into as far as good and evil. I guarantee you on a hot day with Adam trying to chop into a hard ground when it hadn't rained and sweat was running down in his eyes and burning his eyes, and he remembered how wonderful it was in the cool of the day. Almighty God himself used to come looking for him. I guarantee you that he rehearsed this thing in his heart and mind all over again. And then when he turned around to go back to the house to get him a drink of water, or if he was through for the day, some briars got a hold of him and cut his leg. Whew. Listen, hard lesson to learn. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. We grew in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'm learning now in grace. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. That's what the verse says, teaching us that we must despise all ungodliness. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. You need to exercise your mind by the strong meat of the word, and don't be a child and speak as a child and think as a child. Howbeit, in malice be ye children. Children just get along with other children. They might fuss and fret over something for 5 minutes, and next thing you know, they're back playing again. They don't know what malice is all about. Listen, he said, so in understanding, don't be children. But in malice, be children. But in understanding, be men. That's what you're supposed to do. Look at Matthew chapter 18. That's the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth. But listen to this. Matthew chapter 18. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 1, Matthew 18, 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, he didn't mean reverse the process of maturity. He's saying the same thing the Apostle Paul was. in malice be children, but in the things of the Spirit be men, grow up. And Jesus said you need to be like these little children as far as malice is concerned. But as far as maturity is concerned, be men. 1 Kings chapter 3, listen at Solomon's prayer. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse number 9. This is Solomon's prayer to God as he begins his earthly reign. God has appeared unto Solomon in Gibeon in a dream at night and said, "Ask what I will, what I want." I'll get it out in a minute. "Ask what I will give thee," in verse 5. And here's what he asked for. 1 Kings 3, 9. "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" He said, if I don't have an understanding of good and evil, I'm not going to be able to discern and seek how to judge, know how to judge these people. I won't know who's guilty and who's not guilty if I don't basically understand good and evil. Here again, calling on the relationship of the human soul to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. "You shall be as gods," the devil said. And God, we read it to you in Genesis 3:22, speaking to himself in the Trinity, "They have become as one of us." How? Only in one way, determining good and evil. Now, so if you can discern good and evil, you're being conformed to the image of his dear son. But it's a hard lesson. It's not going to be God throwing a switch. It's not going to be God having you to pass a written test and then he gives you the prize at the end thereof because you made an A+. You're going to have to live it. Briars and thorns and the devil and sin and grace having to reign where sin reigned. And the law coming and saying, "Thou shalt," and making your sin abound. It's not easy, but it's profitable. And we grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. Solomon said, "Give me the ability to discern between good and bad." He wanted that. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. And verse number 39. Deuteronomy 1:39. God's talking about who shall be able to go over into the promised land and so forth. "But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it." Verse 39. Deuteronomy 1. "Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, our prize, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it." God said, we're going to start this thing off with children who don't have any ability to discern between good and evil. So they were not in the transgression. They were not in those who denied that they could go in and conquer the land. So let them come on in. But as soon as they get in here, and that's what gave them entrance, is their innocence. And I use that word very carefully, because there's a way that nobody can be said to be innocent. But in their innocence in this regard, they can come on in, but they're going to have to learn how to grow up and going to have to learn how to discern between good and evil. The book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7. In the prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Listen to this. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 15. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. I don't want to get into the history of this thing, but the thing that God said, this is how you're going to know when this thing is going to happen, is before this child that is born of a virgin shall be able to know and refuse the evil and choose the good, this thing's going to happen. I'm trying to show you in the Bible, throughout the Bible, the knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and how it's referred to and how God looks at it. I haven't been able to see this prior to this day. Well, actually yesterday when God had me start studying on it. And God is opening up to me now, and as I've always done, everything I have from God, I give it to you. I care about you, and I want you to know the Lord in the fullness of his revelation. And I will not hold back anything God gives me so that God may be glorified thereby and you may be edified. And I don't get in trouble with God for trying to say what I will preach and what I won't preach. If God gives it to me, then I'm going to preach it. Can you find Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes 11. 10. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. You're going to have to deal with sorrow and evil. Listen, this is what I want you to see. The last part of Ecclesiastes 11:10. For childhood and youth are vanity. Childhood and youth are empty. They are devoid of the truth. They are vanity. So that's why we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. But where does grace abound? Where sin abounds? What does the awareness of sin cause you to do? Cry out for mercy. You know that you have done wrong. You know that you are a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And dear soul, when we come to understand and have God to impress that upon us, we have to cry out to God for mercy. We cry unto him, Abba Father. And because we are sons, God has sent the Spirit of God into our hearts. And so it is the knowledge, not theology only, but experience. Mama, I hadn't had any sleep for 3 days. I'm in a place to where I've never been before, and it's real to me now, and I need help. And she's just thankful for that little bed that her mama kept in that back room that was her little childhood bed. She goes back on it and lays down on it as a grown woman and is glad to have it. Dear soul, when I realized what a sinner I was thankful for every eyedropper of mercy. And I asked the Lord, I remember praying one time, I was in such a state of despair. And I said, Lord, I've been to the butcher shop and there's sawdust all over the floor. And the butcher was cutting and chopping and doing all this on that big old block that he had. And I saw a piece of meat fall on the floor. I know that he's not going to do anything with it, but I'm going to ask you, Lord, in all your chopping and fixing and preparing, if there's one drop of mercy, any little tidbit of mercy that's fallen on the sawdust down on the floor, even if men have stepped on it, I don't care. I want it. I was in such a desperate condition, and I realized my sin was such a horrible offense to God, and it was killing me. Sin was abounded because the law had come and made my sin to be exceedingly sinful. And I kept hearing, "Thou shalt," and I kept understanding, but I didn't. And I kept hearing, "Thou shalt not," and I kept hearing in my soul, but I did. Lord, is there any mercy for me? While you are passing out mercy, don't pass me, O gentle Savior, pass me not. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. And dear soul, this is that young woman's crying and hurting and not knowing what to do. The baby's precious. She wanted it. Everybody was excited, and they had the shower, and she had the birth, and everybody was all excited, and balloons on the mailbox. And but now, everybody had gone home. It's just me and this baby, and this baby ain't gonna let up, screaming and crying and carrying on. Don't have any regard for my need of sleep. Mama, help me. Jesus, have mercy upon me. Help me. Oh, you have come now to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Yes, sir. What do you need? I disobeyed you. That's sin. And Lord, I hear from the gospel and I understand from the preaching of the word and the Holy Spirit that where sin doth abound, that's me, Lord. Mama, I haven't had any sleep for 3 days. Help me, Lord. Nothing in my hand I bring. I don't have anything that you want or could receive in exchange for the forgiveness of my sin. I'm destitute of every kind of benefit that you might want. I can't say, Lord, help me because of me, but all I can say is, Lord, help me because of the Lamb of God, that he would take away the sin of my world. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Help me, Lord. I have come now to be at one with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's my evil. I need good. I have no exchange at your market to purchase it or buy it. But I hear the gospel say, come and buy bread without price. Come and buy milk without price. Satisfy your soul with the goodness of God. Is that for me, Lord? Can that be mine? Can I have that which I do not deserve? Because we both know that I sinned in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. The tree. God have mercy. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is a hard taskmaster. But it's not the tree's fault. It was me disobeying God's command concerning the tree. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is not what we're concerned about in those verses in Revelation 2:7 and Revelation 22:14 that we read you in the first lesson. But in there, it's the tree of life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Death could not keep its prey. He tore the bars away, and up from the grave he arose. Why? It wasn't his sin. It was my sin. He came out of the grave because he wasn't guilty. He partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He understood the thorns pierced his brow just like they did Adam's leg. Oh, dear soul. He had to undertake all of the curse that belongs not one whit upon his brow, but belongs completely and 100% on mine. What is that? That's grace like you've never known. Grace reigned unto righteousness. Isn't that amazing? Jesus could say, as a prophet, thousands of years before he went to the cross, "My Father will not leave my soul in hell, neither will he allow thy Holy One to see corruption." How can you say that? Because I'm not a sinner. Then how in the world can you identify with me? Because you are a sinner. And I came into the world to seek and save that which was lost. That's my purpose. "Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of my world, and yours too, if you will come back and say, 'Mama, I haven't been able to sleep.' If you will come back and say, 'Lord, everything you said not to do, I have done it. I am a sinner, a realized sinner. Now I am a confessed sinner. Lord, grant me the gift of faith and repentance that I may be able to stand in the presence of God and be able to partake freely of the tree of life in the garden of God, and the gates of the city of glory shall be opened up for me. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord, mighty in battle. That's who he is. And he don't shut the gate from those who follow him. For these are they who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Ain't God good? Dear sinner, the very thing that causes you such heartache, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, is that which will see to it that you come to the tree of life eternally. They shall never perish. I give unto them eternal life. My Father gave them me, and nobody's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I'm going to save you on purpose, and I'm going to save you forever. You're never going to get over it. The devil's not ever going to have access to you anymore. Sin is a thing that's going to be forgotten. I shall wipe all tears from your eyes. What caused you to weep? My sin. God shall wipe all tears from their eyes. Behold, I make all things new. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Why are we laboring and heavy laden? Because of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because we disobeyed God and got ourselves in this mess. But don't worry about it. It's in God's purpose. It's in God's plan. Why are you crying out to God? Because there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And because the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, of Revelation 13:8. Dear soul, God's purpose is that you would come like that daughter on that quiet autumn Saturday morning. And you had that baby in that bucket on your arm and that diaper bag on your shoulder and your pocketbook dangling off. and you have to ring the doorbell. It's your house. You grew up in it, but you have to ring the doorbell. One reason, because you can't open the door with all that stuff you got to carry around because of the baby. Another reason is you just came to the place of being awakened to what Mama had done for you. And you respect her and her house now. It ain't just my house to run into when I want to. I have to show respect and ring the doorbell. Dear soul, why don't you ring the doorbell and ask God, can you come in? You just took God for granted all your life. Yeah. Paul got in the hospital. We prayed for him. Jesus took care of it. Okay, let's go on back to what we were doing. But not anymore. You have partaken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And now you have begun by experience to understand evil and good. She rings the doorbell. And Mama comes to the door and she looks surprised. She calls her by her name. Come on in. What are you doing standing out here? And she opens up the screen door and takes some of the stuff off of her. Here, let me have the baby. Come on in. And the daughter starts weeping. She's weeping for two things. She's weeping because of the baby's stress that she has to go through to take care of that child. But she's also weeping because this is the first time she understood that her mother had been in that same place. And dear soul, if you ever see Jesus Christ on the cross and know it was your sin and my sin that put that holy Lamb of God there, you'll weep for him too. Have you ever wept for the thorns that was on his brow? They were your thorns. They were my thorns. Adam introduced thorns into the world, but they wound up on his head. Oh, sacred head now wounded, bless his holy name. God have mercy upon us. Thankful to the Lord for his kind and tender mercies. Galatians chapter 3, the book of Galatians, chapter 3. I want to read you some scriptures before we close. Galatians 3 and 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Garden was good. There wasn't any stop signs. There wasn't any laws, no courts, no judges. There was nothing to even insinuate that there could be anything wrong. But God said, I don't want it like that. No man is justified in the law in the sight of God. It is evident for what? The just shall live by faith. Ding dong. She rings the doorbell. Mama comes to the door. What are you doing standing out here? And she weeping so hard. She can't answer her. And the mother says, oh, baby, come on in. Let me take that child from you. And she takes him off her arm and brings her on in and hugs her and takes her in the kitchen. I've just baked some cinnamon rolls like you used to love, and I got a fresh pot of coffee. Sit down here and talk to me. Whew. Wow. That's how it was when God saved me. It was not until I realized and discerned good and evil that I could cry out for mercy. I followed my brothers down an aisle in the First Baptist Church in Eufaula, Alabama, and went into the baptism waters, grinning and looking around. Didn't know God from third base. Went down a dry center and came up a wet center. They gave me a little New Testament Bible, which I still have. 7 years later, God saved me in Atlanta, Georgia. Oh, my soul. Until I could ring the doorbell, knowing that I didn't belong there anymore. That's not my address. This is my parents' house. This belongs to them. I have misused and abused my privilege of that which they did for me out of their love. But I finally realized who I am and who they are. And I'm just asking for mercy. Can I come in? Dear sinner, can you come in? You need to ask God yourself. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. This child that's been born of the queen, he's the new king. Well, he grows some. He's just 7 years old. He's under tutors and under instructors and teachers and all. He ain't got an ounce of authority or influence over anything, but he's the king. That's how we were. Oh, my soul. Go back to Galatians 3, verse 21. But the scripture hath concluded all unto sin. Why? In order that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. You had to come to be concluded under sin. And you had to become a realized sinner before the promise of faith could be yours. Because God don't save anything but and anybody but sinners. If you're not a sinner, you're going to hell. If you are a sinner, God will save you. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. We were just under law. Little Timmy sat up at the table. Don't be playing with your food. Finish your green beans. You can't get down till you clean your plate. Laws, 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 laws. All kinds of instructions. We were shut up to the law until faith came. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Thank God. The law kept me under. The law made me see what a sinner I was until I could come to the place of having to ring that doorbell and say, help me, Lord, can I come in? I am a sinner. I realize what you did for me. I realize who you are. I have partaken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I can now discern that I am a wretched sinner, and I am looking for grace to abound where my sin hath that much more abounded. I'm looking for grace to that much more abound where my sin abounded. And he said, I've been waiting on you. Where you been? I've had this grace for you for over 2,000 years. Longer than that. As a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13:8. I've been waiting on you to call on me. I've been waiting to hear those words, pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Now I'm calling you. Come on in. I've got some fresh baked rolls and some delicious hot coffee. There's a bed in the back room. I want you to go lay down and rest. I'll take care of the baby. Dear soul, Romans 8:32, if God has given us his son, he has delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give you all things? Mama's house is now more yours than you realize. Yes, it was yours when you were a little toddler. Yes, it was yours when you were in kindergarten. Yes, it was yours when you were in grade school. Yes, it was yours when you were in high school and college. But you just don't realize how much more it's yours now. We have already been to the lawyer, and when we're gone, we have put it in your name. After the death of the testator, Paul said, you can receive the blessing. While the testator is alive, nobody gets to read the will or get anything from it. But the one who wrote the will died in your stead. Shall I ask the Father to deliver me from this hour? No, but for this hour am I now come. Born to die. So that when the will is read, the heavenly executive, the Holy Spirit, can display for you and to display upon you all the blessings of faith in Christ Jesus. Lord, that sounds like the tree of life. It is. It never went away. I'm going to remove the effect of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because it wouldn't be heaven and glory if you still had a consciousness of evil. I'm going to wipe all tears from your eyes. Behold, all things shall become new. I make all things new, he said. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. That ain't just physical happiness. That's God's joy. It has to do with his glory. And it's all yours now. Ain't God good? You say, it sure is hard in this Christian life. Look at the cross. How hard do you think that was? And it was mine and your briars that put on his head. He didn't deserve it. But Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. My sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it as white as snow. Isn't that good? Though your sins be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. God has something for sinners today. It cannot be left without you partaking in it if you are a confessed sinner. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you lost? That's all you got to say. Are you lost? Jesus came to save sinners. Are you a sinner? Do you realize that the problem with having to bear the burden of the tree of knowledge and good and evil shall result in your being brought back into a paradise of God, in the midst of which is the tree of life, which we can be able to take freely? Well, I was sent over here to tell you that. I've done the best I can. It's between you and your parent, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you ring the doorbell and see what happens?